Good morning. It is so good to see you all today and all of you listening on our website. How cool is this? This is some family business. I was just told by Sterling right before service, we just sponsored our third child in Guatemala. Isn't that neat? On Mother's Day. How cool is that? Around the world, we're able to touch a child and say, you know what? You get to go to school for a year, completely paid for, all supplies, all medical stuff, all food, taken care of. I just think that is, like, we are mothering a child from afar today on Mother's Day. I just think that's special, so unique. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's. Thanks for the laugh in the back. I wrote this out. One of the characteristics of a mother is one who sacrifices in order to see the full potential reached by who they love. Such a great characteristic. Such a great understanding of what a mother is. And if you really look at the words, I would say a lot more than just mothers accomplish this. It's not just limited to moms. So today, I am preaching on a Mother's Day message, but I want everyone to really pay attention. Because it's reaching the full potential. It's aiding in that, sacrificing to see someone reach more. So Numbers 26, 59, let's take a look at this. I want to today reflect and look at a famous mom in the Bible, okay? So up on the screen, Numbers 26, 59 is this. Oh, the parentheses weren't supposed to copy it in. Sent too much with my notes. The name of Amram's wife was, this is how to pronounce it, ready? Jochebed. Who said that? You know it. Wow. Wow. Everyone say Jochebed. Jochebed. Crazy name. A descendant of Levi who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Jochebed. Jochebed. Thanks for laughing behind me as I continue on. You're not going to distract me today. Jochebed. I love it because a lot of people don't know that this is actually two names smashed together to make one name. But I'm not going to tell you the rest about that. I'll tell you about that at the end. Moses' mother, her name was Jochebed. Do you know Jochebed did four things to help Moses obtain his full potential given by God? God had a major purpose for Moses. If you've never heard the name Moses before, if you know Moses, Moses accomplished quite stunningly more than most human on this earth. Moses changed the world. But in reality, it was because a woman stepped up and accomplished four things. She did four things to partner with God to see the full purpose of God displayed to the earth. It's because of this woman changed the course of the earth. She did four things, four things. I'm going to read most of my scripture today right now, so I'm just preparing you for that. Usually I have most of my scripture kind of like going through in one verse here, one verse there, but today I'm just doing it all at once because I want the complete story. Exodus chapter 2. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. Interlude, just so you know, any child that was born in this tribe had to be murdered, had to be killed at this time. So she was severely nervous about her child being born because if anyone found out, he would be killed and she didn't want that. Like every mother wouldn't want that. She put the baby in a basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. That's some sister. Let's watch and see what happens. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walking along the riverbank walked along. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do. Great idea," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. I just think there's some form of irony in there, and I don't have time to segue on that, but imagine, you know, she's like, "I have to give up my baby that's going to be murdered," and then she plants herself so that she ends up raising the baby herself under law. Don't have time. That's a whole message in itself. But yes, Stu, the princess said, picking up in verse 8. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Verse 9, "Take the baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." How many moms would love to be just, you would be like paid just to raise that? I mean, how cool would that be? So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Verse 10, "Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, 'I lifted him out of the water.'" Moses' name, if you didn't know, is that, but the literal meaning from Hebrew means to pull out of. I mean, does that not identify Moses? The pull out of. He pulled a nation out of slavery. He was known for pulling bad stuff out and making it good. That was his entire identity and purpose. And his mom partnered with God for him to reach that purpose. So, 4 points today. Someone pointed out, they looked at the bulletin, they noticed we have 4 points, but two or three. If you open your bulletin, it says 1, 2, 3, 3. Go ahead and just change the second, third point to point four. Sorry about that typo. And some of you just noticed now. Well, I'll be. So number one, purpose, purpose. The first thing, purpose. Recap. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a what child? Special baby, and kept him hidden for 3 months. She saw that he was special. You know, has anyone seen the movie Aladdin? It's a kind of a throwback. Is anyone else sad to see the Aladdin leaving Disneyland? I'm like, that bums me out. Aladdin is being kicked out of Disneyland because Frozen needs room. I know. I can't get sidetracked today. I got too many points. All right. It's a true story. I know. Rebecca's bummed right now. Aladdin, the whole reason why Aladdin existed in the movie, because he was the diamond in the rough and someone saw that. Purpose. So the first point is tied into a mom or a person sees someone as being more than they are. They're special. You see a purpose. Men, a motherly characteristic is seeing a diamond in the rough. Do you know what a spyglass is? It's like those telescoping lenses. I don't know if I'm saying it. You pull it out and you can like sit on a boat and you look like this. I had one at the house I was trying to find, but I couldn't find it. So just imagine with me, it's you have to open it and look through. And a spyglass, the entire purpose is to enable you to see what no one else can see. That's its entire purpose and existence in life. In old sailing times, everyone would be on the boat and one person would be in the crow's nest and they'd take the spyglass and they'd be watching for other ships that could bring harm or for land for them to dock. The entire goal of a spyglass was to enable you to see what no one else can see. So I pulled out three things that characteristics of a spyglass. I got points inside of points today. I love it. Points on points. So, three things a spyglass needs to happen in order for you to see what no one else can see. What I'm trying to get at is three ways for you to be able to see something in someone else, all right? To enable you to see the purpose in that person's life. So, A, opened. Open. You got to open a spyglass first. Right? That's just basics. If you have a spyglass that opens, it's useless like this. Do you know a closed spyglass is a 1x1 magnification? If it, when it's closed and sealed, it, all you see is the exact same thing. If you look through it, versus it's the same glass opened. A spyglass has to be opened. So what I'm getting at is A, make the effort. It takes effort to open a spyglass. Make the effort to look at someone beyond the surface. If you look at them like everyone else, you won't see beyond what God sees. Open up the, make the effort to say, I know there's something special in this person. What can I find? What can I see? Is there something beyond just superficial value? B, you gotta look to the right side of the spyglass. Right? Can back me up today. If you look through the wrong side of the spyglass, did you know it actually makes things smaller? I did this as a kid. It shrinks, it minimalizes everything. When you look at someone, do you minimalize their life or do you maximize their purpose? Do you minimalize and look at all the shortcomings and the missteps and everything they fall short of and play on that? Or do you look for the diamond in the rough? Do you look and magnify and say, hey, you're doing all these things wrong, but I'm not gonna focus on that. I'm not gonna look at all the small stuff. I wanna look at the depth that God has in your life. And I want to capitalize on that. You got a purpose and let's focus on that. Everyone else will see the minimal, but I wanna see the maximal. I think I just conjugated that word wrong, but that's okay. C, focus, focus. Do you know, if you look through a spyglass, you only see what you're looking at, right? You don't see all the other things going on. What good would it be if that person in the crow's nest who's trying to watch for land and other ships is busy looking at all the seagulls floating by? All right, that's a good one, you know? Oh, that one has 3 wings because radio, I don't know, whatever. There's so many superhero movies coming out and I get sidetracked. But if you're not focused on the right thing at the right time, you miss it. Focus. How do you see God's purpose? Is you focus on what that person is good at. Focus. Focus. You know, one of the most common excuses I hear as a pastor and why someone can't serve, it's the word, I'm busy. This is the most common thing I hear as a pastor. I'm busy, I'm too busy. I can't do that, I'm busy. But if you focus off of the busyness onto the purpose of that person's life, you can enable them to reach God's purpose on their life. We all have busyness. But remember what I initially said about the characteristic of a mom? Let me scroll up in my notes here. One of the characteristics of a mom is one who sacrifices in order to see the full potential reached by who they love. There's a sacrifice. Bless you. My daughter was on a Nanny McPhee kick for a while. Who here has like kids that they watch a movie they like and then they watch it a million times more? Thank you. I'm not the only one. I don't remember what movie we were on before Nanny McPhee. Hotel Transylvania 2. Oh, we were stuck on Hotel Transylvania 2 for about 6 months. Lord have mercy. We were in it for a while. And so one day I was on Netflix and I was like, Lord Jesus, I need something else to watch with my daughter. And I just randomly saw Nanny McPhee and I was like, anything's better. And put on Nanny McPhee and she fell in love with it. And she's like, Daddy, can we watch it again? And I was like, no, what if I started? And there's this line at the end that gets me like every time. You know, there's just a swirl of dust comes and hits my eyes and just gets a little teary at this one moment. And it gets me every time. See, the maid, all the kids trick the aunt who comes, and they want to steal one of the daughters away and wants to make the daughter like herself. You know, just basically turn into a princess. We'll use that term. So the aunt comes, and the kids trick, and they actually send one of the maids away instead of a daughter. They're like, we can't separate the children. Send the maid. And so the maid goes, and then 10 minutes later in the movie, she comes back. It's the movie magic, I guess. And so all the kids are sitting around, and I pulled up the script, and I just want to read it. It's just a few lines. It says, all the kids are gathered around. They're all whispering back and forth. Who's that? One says. Another says, it's a princess. Another one says, a fairy princess. And then the dad says, it's Evangeline. Another kid says, are you sure it's Evangeline? Another one says, it doesn't look anything like her. He says, nonsense. She's always looked like that. Because he saw the full potential in her before she was changed. Are you looking for the full potential in people? Or are you just waiting for them to be perfected on their own time? See, a mom will come in and say, man, you're not there yet, but let's work on you. I'll sacrifice my time. I'll sacrifice my energy, my resources, because I want to see God's full potential worked in you. Number two, protection. Number two, protection. Reminder of the verse, Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Just a side note, I said, protect them from dangers you have encountered. Does that not define motherhood, like, beyond anything? Protect them from dangers you've encountered. Right? I don't think I've... I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Okay. No, I'm not. You can't joust me into this. Or whatever word. The Nile was filled with the deadliest creatures. It was known, you go into the Nile, you die. Like, if you're going to go in there, unless you have guards and people positioned and lookouts, you ain't going to make it. The deadliest creatures are in there. Like, if you go on the jungle ride at Disneyland, you're going to see a lot of those creatures in the Nile. Or else you're in denial. I said... Oh my goodness. So, as a parent, as a spiritual mom, as a person who cares about someone that they are trying to protect, I think it is very important we learn how to protect properly. That is critical to know how to protect someone who can't protect themselves. The Bible is very specific with what she does. She does three things, three ways to protect. A, use what you got. Use what you got. Use your life experiences. Use your understanding. Use your resources. What do you have you can offer this child to get them safely to the purpose God has for them? Use what you got. She was surrounded by straw and pitch, straw and thick, oily mud. She made a basket, put him in it, sent him down the river in protection. You know, this is just a side note, and as a pastor, I know there's a sermon here somewhere. Did you know that this is wild? The thing that she covered him in with, the exact same resources that she used, was the exact same resources he'd come back 40 years later and have to stomp together to make brick with his people for Pharaoh. The same thing that Pharaoh wanted to destroy these people with, God used to protect his people with. What what the enemy wants to use to destroy you, God will turn and use to build you up. That's just another sermon I got to preach sometime, but I just want to give that as a quick note. My friend told me this story. It's these stories, you can't make them up. I love these stories. I wish it was my story. It's not my story. It's my friend's story. He said he was in a science classroom one time, and you know, teachers sometimes have to leave the room. There's just some kind of emergency, whatever. But how many teachers do we have in here? Okay, we have a few. How many people, out of teachers, do you know it's always great to leave kids unsupervised, right? No. Shakes and cackles from all teachers. So he was in a science classroom, and he saw this girl. He had a crush on her. That's why he remembers the story so vividly. And he tells a story that she was started getting picked on by this group of bully girls, and they were making fun of her, and they were going to start, like, physically hurting her. So he watched her, rather than defend her, watched her run to the other room and ripped off her shoe, grabbed her sock, and grabbed some batteries and put it in the sock and started swinging around. Like, you want some of this? You know you go to a different kind of school when you're swinging Duracells around, you know? Whole point, use what you got. Use what you got. When the enemy comes after you, grab some Duracells and start swinging. You know what I think is interesting about this is I really believe the enemy doesn't expect us to turn what he's used to hurt us on him through the power of God. What's something that's really hurting you right now, hurting someone else? Oftentimes, if you look at it, God can transform it for greatness. Use what you got. Something that could be dangerous, something that could be hurtful, something that could try to just bog you down in bondage can be transformed through the power of God. Use what you got. B, in the three ways to protect. Get help. Get help. Get help. Everyone say get help. Get help. What does the Bible say? Was the mom and Moses alone in the water? Who else was standing there? The sister. Sister, get help. The sister watched with purpose. Because if anything was going wrong, if any animal was coming out, she could grab it and snag it away fast and try their plan again the next day. Get help. Get help. Moses wasn't on his own floating down a river. The sister was watching out for what was happening. Get help. Get help. See. Choose the method. Choose the method. God's going to anoint and bless anything that you take in and use as protection. But it's up to you to choose what you use. It's your choice. Dealer's choice. What method are you going to use? Listen to this. Your protection isn't seasonal, but how you protect is. This is like, if seriously, get this. Your protection isn't seasonal. You ain't gonna stop, I just don't ain't. You're not gonna stop loving and protecting your kids the rest of your life, right? And those of you who might not have kids, there are people you will have as spiritual children and you will look out for their best interests the rest of your life. Amen? You will always look out for them. But your method of protection changes. Amen. Right? When they are a child, your protection might be a timeout or a spanking because they keep trying to reach for the same stinking pot that's on fire right now. That's ridiculous. Ollie, stop it. It will hurt you. You know, I'm not going to grab Oliver when he's 45 and give him a pow-pow or a timeout. Right? My wife just said, I would. Right? Yeah, a mom will sit in a principal's office because that child messed up in kindergarten. Yes. Mm-hmm. But that same mom is not going to go to that kid's boss when he's 55 and say, tell me what he did. I can't believe this. He's going on. You, right? How you protect that child changes. And unfortunately, most people don't grasp that. Choose the method for that season. Choose a method. Man, this is a great, this can be a message too. Just this one point. Choose a method. Choose a method. I found this story. I loved it. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. But then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and an arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long. Choose your method. What does your child need for protection right now? What does your spiritual child need for protection right now? Number three, provision. The third thing out of the story is about provision. Exodus 2:9, again, we're going back to that verse. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. So the mother took her baby home and nursed him. Divine provision comes from divine purpose. That's noteworthy, by the way, if you're taking notes. If you're not, you can start now. Divine provision comes from divine purpose. Divine provision comes from divine purpose. Purpose and provision are linked. Do you know the enemy loves to come in and give fear linked with purpose? Because if he can get you sidetracked away from your purpose, he can get the provision away from it also. When you halt your purpose, oftentimes provision is halted, and then we start trying to grasp at straws to provide for ourselves, and God's saying, don't you get it? Your purpose I've lined up will provide for you. This woman, there was a law out that her woman would be killed. And guess what? She was paid to keep her baby because she fell in line with the purpose. If she hid her baby away, how long, how old would it have been before they found it and killed the baby? Would he have gotten to maybe 5 years old, 6 years old? Said, nope, you're done, you're out. But she followed through the purpose. She was fearful of losing her child. But because she was in line with purpose, provision happened. Missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." All right, one more story. Thanks, Riker. Shout me down. On a recent service trip to the Hurricane Katrina ravaged coast of Mississippi, we worked at a home that was owned by a retired United Methodist pastor. Reverend Jones said he and his wife had left their home before Katrina struck and gone to a shelter. After the storm passed, they were allowed back into the city to grab a few belongings. When they entered their house, the water was still knee high, but Jones was determined to see what he could salvage. Jones saw several framed family photos floating in the water. He didn't see anything else to save, so he grabbed the pictures and left. Back at the shelter, he took the photos out of their frame so they could dry out. But when he removed his father's picture, money fell out of the frame. He was astonished to count out $366. Even more astounding was that the father had died in 1942. When Jones himself was only 12 years old, he had no idea the money was in the frame. The money was precisely and exactly what he and his wife needed to go to Atlanta after the storm to live with their daughter. I want to read that story not as a great ending with provision that God meets our provision, but I need you to kind of fill in the gaps here. You have a pastor that was moving to a city with a powerful testimony. There was a purpose to be had over there, moving in with their family, being able to minister through that testimony to everyone else. Their purpose was linked to their provision. Number four, process. Going back to verse 10, later when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." The process leads to God's purpose over that child. You know, this is one of the most important steps, one of the most important points. Grasp this today. Know what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Know what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Here's why I find this story so interesting. It's one of the only stories in my mind that illustrates for me Mother's Day. Specifically, not just Mother's Day for people who have had children, but also women who have taken in spiritual children. Did you know the partnership between Moses' mom and Pharaoh's daughter, if she didn't release Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, Moses wouldn't have written the first five books of the Bible? It doesn't even stop there. Did you know the entirety of the Bible continuation from the first five books of the Bible, the rest of it all together, is the story of the people that Moses drew out of Egypt? The physical Bible was birthed from the relationship of a physical mother to a spiritual mother. This bridging gap has the outcome of the Bible today. Can we grasp the severity of how much you are needed? Do you know, I really believe if we walked in, and this might be a hard statement, please don't hate me forever. If we grasped this concept, this merger, this marriage, and saying, "I have purpose, I will not give up on this, I know there are children that God has divinely placed in my life to raise," we wouldn't have such a hard time in our lives. Women, you wouldn't feel empty nest syndrome. I really believe that's a spiritual feeling of saying, "My job isn't done. I have something to offer. It might not be my physical offspring, but they are children of God, and it's my turn." The Bible was created between that marriage. I also believe that the enemy would love nothing more than to give a woman those feelings that they aren't good enough or they aren't valued, Because when that marriage takes place, it's deadly for the kingdom. God has such a purpose in all of our lives. And he also uses us in other people's lives. You know, one of the best things you can do in regards to this of understanding, am I supposed to speak into this child's life or not, whether it's my own or someone else's, is to do a self-evaluation. Take a little quiz, if you will. Here's the two questions I came up with. Am I called by God to help this child reach their purpose? Well, that's question number one. And question number two is it time I send this child towards their purpose? It's easy to keep, you know, mothering them for the rest of their life, but at some point you have to say, I am sending you towards your full potential. Moses' mom, at one point, she never stopped loving him as a mother, but she had to transition him to the next stage of the life. Does that make sense? When is it time? I changed a fishing term. I don't know why, but I just did. Raise and release, instead of catch and release. Raise and relief. Don't miss the divine appointments. Don't allow your fear of sending that child to go fulfill their purpose, because God will send you another. God will send you another. Proverbs 22:6. I had to use this verse in this sermon today, and I felt at the end was the best. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. I wanted to say from the pulpit, if your child is at a season that is frustrating you to no end, God is proud of you. God is proud of you because you have instilled at the beginning of that child's life. They might be going through a season that you are so devastated and so hurt by and so frustrated by, and you just want to throw in the towel, but God has a purpose for the child. God's not done. It's not over. And they're still going through it. You know what? I never told you what Moses' mom's name means. Can anyone say her name again? I just heard like five different names. Yochebed. Now there's discussion. That's great. Yochebed. It's literally two words smashed together in the Hebrew. Yahweh and Kabod. Yochebed. It literally means to bring glory to God. Today's message, by you fulfilling your purpose by saying, I see a child and I will help raise them. I'll partner with God to see their purpose fulfilled, literally brings glory to God. That's so good. My challenge for you is to say, you know what? I might be a guy, I might be a mom, might not have kids, but I want to bring glory to God. Patty, would you come on up? I know my wife wanted to share a couple things before we dismiss today.
Thank you. I just wanted to share a word this morning that the Lord gave me. First of all, to the moms. If I can get through this without crying, that'll be great. I believe that the word that the Lord has for all of us mothers is that you are worthy of the name. You are worthy of the title, and you are doing a good job. So many times I feel like we all feel like we're just not doing our job. We could be doing better. And I think as moms, we beat ourselves up a lot when we see that our kids are throwing tantrums or have messed up in this area or that area, whatever. We blame ourselves and we beat ourselves up about it. And that's not fair. The Lord wants us all to know that you are worthy of that name. You are worthy of that title. And it's hard. It gets really, really hard. But there is a reason why that child is your child. It's no mistake. The Lord decided that you would be the perfect mother to that child. And this goes to spiritual moms too, whether this child is biologically yours or not. There is no accident as to why you are connected to this child, to the children. The Lord decided you are perfect for them. You are going to do a really good job being mom, spiritual mom, auntie, grandma, whatever it may be to this child. So know that. Just thank the Lord for his grace, because we need a lot of that, raising children. And so just know that. And so with that, I wanted to explain our kids, our children's ministry. They're working on some fun stuff for all you ladies. So make sure that you just come, make sure you see one of the little ones today. They have something special for you. But what we have as a church put together is part of what the message was this morning, and our church motto of make the change, be the change, decided why not encourage another woman and let them know God loves you in just a simple way. And so I have these cards that we'll be handing out to all the women this morning, and they just say you are loved. And my challenge to you, my request, is that throughout your day, would you just be sensitive to who the Lord wants you to give this card to? Preferably to someone you don't know. There's the people in your life that you know that you can say this to, and it's easy to say it to this person and remind them of how special they are. But to a stranger, you have no idea how this is going to impact their life. You don't even have to say anything. I mean, you go out to eat, you just leave that in with the bill when you're paying for your waitress for your server to get it. You have no idea the impact that's going to make on their lives. And so I challenge you just to a woman that you don't know, whether she's a mom or not, it doesn't matter. Just give it to them today or throughout this week when you get a chance. Write it on the back. Oh, yeah. I mean, the backside's blank if you want to add any extra thoughts or any words that the Lord is placing on your heart for that person. Thank you. And so with that, if I can can I have all the women stand up right now? And then we're all just going to pray over you. And gentlemen, if you could just extend your hands or lay hands if there's a woman next to you, nearby you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the role that you have given us all as women. Father, that we are not an afterthought when we were created. We were not, Lord, we were created with purpose. And it's a huge one. It's a huge responsibility to be a woman. And so I thank you for that. I feel so blessed and so incredibly blessed to be surrounded by other women who call themselves moms, wives, mothers, spiritual moms, grandmas, aunties. Lord, the role that we play in our family and friends' lives is huge, whether we see it or not. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I just thank you for the grace. And I just pray for more of it, just so abundantly. I thank you, Father, for the wisdom and how to raise children right. Lord, loving you first and foremost, whether they be ours or not, in impacting others' lives. Lord, I pray that as women, we would just make it our sole purpose not only to spread your love, Lord, but to build each other up instead of tearing each other down. Lord, instead of the criticism, instead of the judgment, I pray just would that grace be fully extended to one another. And Lord, finally, as this day, as we enjoy this day, Mother's Day, I pray that it'd be all about you, Lord. As people honor us as women, as moms, I pray that it would just be a reminder of how great you are, of that responsibility that you've given us, Lord, and how we receive it, Lord, with open arms. Lord, and would men be reminded that these are women who are just so powerful and so incredibly full of love to give, Lord, so unselfishly. Father, I pray that we would continue to do our job and carry that title with pride. Would we not be daunted by the fact that when we go home, there are tantrums to be had, houses to be cleaned, errands to run? Would we do all these things on a daily basis, fully knowing that we are impacting the lives of so many? And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the incredible blessings over each and every woman in this room and the impact that they have on so many and all the women that we know, Lord, that are not in this room today. So I thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as you take your seat, would you just, we have our announcement video. Would you just direct your eyes to the screen?